Good afternoon. This is Perrier with Living Clay Company, and we're here today to talk about calcium bentonite clay, and I want to invite all of our listeners and viewers to this teleseminar, and thank you for joining us. I do want to let you know that if you enter a question and we don't get to it, we have no way of contacting you to give you an answer, so you'll either need to contact us by phone or email, or put your email message number, your email address at the end of the message so we can email you back. We had some people last week whose calls, questions we didn't get to and weren't able to contact them. So I want to welcome my guest today. I have Jason Fowler with ProHealth Dynamics. Jason, are you on the line?
I am, yes. Thank you.
Okay, well, I want to tell you a little bit about Jason. He was with us last time, if any of you heard the last teleseminar. He is an internal environmentalist or certified nutritional microscopist, and he was trained at the PH Miracle Research Center. He does a lot of work with balancing pH, alkalizing, and live and blood dry analysis. I have seen some of the photos of his blood work cells before and after clay and after his protocol, and it's amazing the difference they make. So I want to welcome Jason with us today. And Jason, how did you hear about Living Clay?
I was actually recommended to you guys several years ago, actually before I even got certified with Dr. Young, by another nutritional microscopist who's been using your products and really enjoyed everything that you guys had to offer. And Dr. Young, the person that I trained under, he actually uses clay as well, but he was using another clay. So I found it interesting when I compared the clay that I was already using from you guys with his clay, and I noticed an immediate difference. His is, I would say, probably the best of the sodium bentonites, but even the best sodium bentonite can compare with the best calcium bentonite. And I noticed a few immediate differences, like the fact that it didn't mix as well with water, and that it had a salty taste to it. And I felt like it it had a better drawing effect as well. I felt more energy coming from it, and I felt like it also worked better when taking clay baths as well.
Yes, and did you notice a difference in the blood test?
I didn't really have enough time to compare the two. When I took my training, he gave us, everybody that was participating in the class, a pound of his clay and a few other of his products, and I just had the 1 pound, which after using it for a few days, my wife and I both, we both were like, you know what, this isn't as good as the calcium bentonite clay, so I just threw it into the bathtub with my wife and let her use a clay bath. And she even said that she didn't think that it did as good of a job as when she did the clay baths with the calcium bentonite clay either. So, yeah.
With the living clay, yes. Well, we seem to think it's a superior clay, too. All clays are different, and they each have their uniqueness. And this is one that we find it's very fine and non-gritty, and it really has a strong propensity for drawing out toxins. And for any new listeners, we're talking about calcium bentonite clay, and the clay that I refer to that I give directions for is a slightly swelling calcium bentonite clay referred to as Living Clay. It's the Living Clay brand. And it has a unique ability to swell. Most of your calcium bentonites do not expand. So when you get a pound of clay and you mix it with water, you're going to have 3 1-pound jars of a hydrated or clay paste. It's what we call a cleansing clay mask. I call it hydrated clay because it will hold that much water. And so it's a very unique clay, and I haven't found another calcium bentonite that swells quite like this one. So when we're giving directions, we're talking about mixing this type of clay, and if you're using a non-swelling clay, the water ratio might be too much for different types of calcium bentonite clay. So I just wanted to explain that up front. Calcium bentonite clay is a volcanic ash. It's had all the impurities burnt out. It's the core of Mother Earth from the bottom of the volcano. And when the ash, the plume of ash is expanded in the air, it's literally the core, burnt out core of Mother Earth with all the impurities burnt out. And when you burn a log in a fireplace, you see it change. It transforms and the energy and the heat come up in the flames and the heat that it gives off. And then it goes down and burns down to charcoal or ash. Ash is the final result. This sort of creates a void. It's the heat leaving creates a vacuum and a void. So this clay has this strong propensity when water is added to it to expand and pull. And it's got this electromagnetic charge in it from the volcano, from the heat. And this clay, it has a negative ionic charge, which is used to draw positive charges. So when you take it internally, the only thing it's looking for is a positive charge ion. It's like a little vacuum only looking for the baddies, your viruses, your fungus, your molds, your bad bacteria have a positive charge. So it's like a little vacuum or a Pac-Man just sucking up the baddies. It pulls it inside the clay molecule and it holds it captive so it can't get out again. So when you, it's carried, it goes through the body. It's not absorbed into the bloodstream directly. The clay particle is too large to pass through the colon wall. Although clay is made up of many, many minerals, 60 to 70 trace minerals, they're in trace minute amounts, and they're all bound together to make the clay molecule. So we don't necessarily take it as a mineral substitute, but it is a catalyst that supports the body in getting other minerals because it cleanses your colon when it goes through. It's going to pull out old fecal matter that's lodged in the lower colon. And when it does this, it makes way for you to get nutrients from your food, and your vitamins are more accessible to be absorbed through the colon wall. So people think it's increasing their mineral content, and it is, but it does indirectly. It's not from the clay itself. The rest of the clay is carried out of the body. Likewise, in a clay bath, it's so strong, it will literally pull through the pores of your skin and pull toxins out that we have lodged in the soft tissues and the joints of our body. And when it does pull it out, it holds it captive so it can't get back in your skin. Like Epsom salts or some of the salts are also drawing, but they don't necessarily capture the toxins it draws. They may still be floating in the water. So you want to use a clay bath to hold these toxins captive and get them out of the body. And so that's just a little bit about clay. The other quality of clay is that it has a 9.7 pH, this particular clay. Not all bentonite clays are high alkaline. Some of them are acidic clays. All clays are different, so you need to do your homework and ask what the pH level is. And I would recommend one with a pH of 8 or above. And this is going to help. It helps neutralize stomach acidity. That's just why it's so beneficial in healing stomach ulcers, irritations in the lower bowels. This plus the fact that it's going to draw blood flow and oxygen to the area, and that's necessary for cellular repair. So it stimulates circulation. It's homeostasic. It balances the body. It brings balance to the body. And a balanced body can heal itself. It's a 9.7 pH, and it detoxes. So those are the four main points about calcium bentonite clay. Now we've had this overview, and I want to talk a little bit to Jason about how he uses the clays to bring health to his customers. And then we'll look and see if we have any questions that we can answer. So, Jason, how do you use this in your protocol of doing the live and the dried blood analysis? What do you find with the blood analysis that the clay helps to improve?
Well, you can probably anticipate my answer. It helps with pretty much just about everything. A great deal of what I deal with is the toxicity that is building up in people over usually a matter of years. or even a lifetime, and it takes quite a bit of work to get all that garbage out of the system, wherever it's being stored away, until our body can get into a healthier state where it can start to flush those toxins out. Ordinarily, our body is supposed to continually, whenever we're exposed to toxins or acids or waste, we're supposed to eliminate it. But quite often, we get ourselves into this hole where we just keep piling more junk up in our body, and we have to keep finding creative ways to store it away from the more important things. The most important thing is the blood. As soon as the blood becomes acidic, if it drops even just a couple of points, then we're dead. So that's the number one thing the body is trying to maintain at all times, is the pH. And we start to do things like create cholesterol to bind with the acids and waste, or store it in our fats or fatty tissues. Like breast cancer is the most common form of cancer in females, or prostate cancer, which is the most common in men. Those are two very fatty organs. Just to give you an idea. Also, you look at how many people are taking different drugs for mental problems, whether it's Alzheimer's or depression or bipolar conditions and all these other different mental conditions. Those are fatty organs. Again, the brain is a fatty organ or fatty tissue area. And that's one of the common places where the body will store those acids and toxins. Also frequently in the joints and in the muscle tissues, or any other tissues, depending on our genetic weaknesses and genetic traits that we may have received from our parents or our progenitors. So what I look at when I'm seeing the blood, I just get a few drops of blood, put it on some slides, and put it up on the monitor so that the client is actually able to see it at the same time that I'm looking at it. And we're seeing a completely unaltered drop of blood as if it was still inside of the body. And everybody's blood is almost like a fingerprint. It's unique to them, but there are certain characteristics and traits that we will see that are across the board with everybody. And when we see certain things or things appearing in certain areas, then that indicates the areas where the toxins are going, or the weaknesses or deficiencies are, and then we know the best place to address with that client so that we can restore them to health and homeostasis. So the clay is very helpful with that. As I just mentioned, you know, homeostasis, that's the ultimate goal, and that's one of the wonderful things about the clay, is it encourages homeostasis. It's very alkaline, which is really the number one the thing that I'm focused on with restoring my clients to health. Everything that we do is acidifying. Dr. Young has a saying, the body, the human body is alkaline by design, but acidic by function. Everything that we do, from eating and breathing and thinking and so on and so forth, everything that we do has an acidic byproduct or a waste product. And we need to continually introduce more alkalinity to neutralize that and keep us balanced. So that's really the big focus. When you were talking earlier about how the clay has a wonderful negative charge, a super strong negative charge, and we are electromagnetic beings. So, you know, we don't live on calories, we live on energy. But when we live out of a box or out of a can, when we're consuming all these processed foods and waters, they're dead and lifeless things, and we're getting, to a great extent, empty calories. When we focus on getting calories that have energy or electricity to them, then that's going to restore our energy levels. And I know that that's pretty much across the board what everybody is dealing with nowadays, is energy. Every time I talk to a new client, they always say, yeah, my energy's not there, I'm not thinking as well as I used to, and pretty much everything else stems from that. That's actually the first sign of acidity, is poor concentration, muddled thinking, low energy. Problems with the bowels or eliminations can often be other indicators, but everybody's going to have some different genetic dispositions towards certain traits. But those first two, the energy and the concentration, are pretty uniform across the board. So back to the electric energy, if you think about free radicals and antioxidants, that's one of the really big things in the health world nowadays. We're talking about antioxidants and free radicals. And these free radicals, those are positive charge that's causing oxidation or rusting on the inside of our body. And that's what starts to age us. And most people nowadays are aging prematurely. If we're able to constantly provide those negatively charged energies to our body, then it reverses that oxidation or has an antioxidizing effect. And the clay does this. It has that strong negative charge, and it's on an ionic level, which is able to get right down to the finest details of our body, the cellular level. That's where the ionic level is taking place, is at the cellular level. So it's getting right to the root of the problem and going right to the source. When we create good, healthy cells, then all of our organs and tissues become healthy as well. So it's really the name of the game.
Right. Wow, that's fascinating to hear you speak of it in those terms, because the comments that we get the most from people are, I notice I have more energy. It's an immediate result. With just in a matter of days, they say, I noticed I have more energy, my thinking is clearer, and those are some of the comments they have. They talk about skin improvements as well, because when the body organs, the liver, the kidneys, and the lymph glands are designed to filter out these toxins, but as you say, our environmental toxins are so overwhelming, and it's in everything we eat, breathe, and ingest, and absorb through the skin, that the body's just overloaded and it can't filter everything out fast enough, so we have this storage. But I wasn't aware of the storage in the fatty tissues, so that was very interesting that you brought that up about breast cancer and prostate cancer being fatty areas. So that could be one reason why we have such a high rate of cancer of those two organs. So the clay is beneficial. I've had a lot of people say that it really clears their thinking, and it has a calming effect. We've had people who do not sleep well that say they now can get rid of all their sleep aids and pills they were taking, particularly after a clay bath. Clay baths are very relaxing, and they just want to be poured into bed and sleep like a baby all night. But even drinking it does that. Now, we had an interesting case of an old dog that could no longer jump up on the furniture or go upstairs. He was so lethargic and old, and his joints were all stopped up and aching and non-functioning. He lost his flexibility. And after 3 days on the clay, they came down and they couldn't find him downstairs, and he had gone up the stairs and jumped up on their daughter's bed, who was off at college, but that was his favorite place. And so after 3 days, his energy level and his ability to get around. And one of the other things that I haven't mentioned is clay gets rid of a lot of our parasites, our internal parasites. The parasites like the clay too, and they let go of the host wall and go to the clay and are carried out of the body. So that's another interesting benefit. Now, this homeostasis affects a lot of things in our body, because when you have a body that is at equilibrium, the body is designed to heal itself. So our goal is to help get rid of some of these this overload of toxins. And Jason, what I'm hearing more and more of with people is the way we're eating, the fatty foods, the fried foods, the quick foods, the processed dead foods, as you call them, are really hindering our health these days. And there is more and more emphasis, studies, and results of eating the vegetarian or the vegan diet. And I believe you work with that in your protocol as well.
Yeah, I don't actually recommend necessarily vegetarian or vegan or raw food, but that's very close to the mark. What I focus on is what's actually being called alkalarian or alkavorian diet and lifestyle, which focuses on getting about 3/4 or 80% of your food is on the alkalizing side of the scale, and about 20% or 1/4 of your food is the acidifying foods. which is basically the opposite of how most people eat nowadays. So if you think about the fact that all sugars are acids, or all meats or proteins are acids, then that starts to really create a shift in the way that we think about our food. And I'm not saying don't eat those things, but we need to eat a lot more of the less acidic things, or the more alkaline things, I should say, and much less of the acidic things. And it's not really a matter of counting calories or grams or weighing our food or anything like that. It's a very simple visual test where you just look at your plate and you think about the typical American or standard American diet, as we often call it, the SAD diet, where the primary thing on the plate is the protein. You've got like a big piece of meat, and then you've got your starch, rice or potato or something like that, and then a token side of vegetables. Most of the time it's cooked. Where if we were actually to switch that around and maybe have predominantly vegetables, ideally at least 40% of it live, and then some starch or protein, and I generally recommend one or the other for each meal, because when you get into food combining, and this may be a little off the topic, but when we try to digest one type of food compound, there are certain stomach secretions that are needed to break down one type of food, and then there's other secretions that are used to break down another type. One might be an acid, and another might be a base. So if we've got acids in our intestines and our bowels, at the same time that we have basic secretions, then they're just going to be canceling each other out, and the food generally doesn't get digested fully or properly, and it may sit in the gut for days or even weeks. And the body, the bowels, don't know the difference between something we just ate and something that's been there for days. So it's going to continue to try and absorb whatever nutrients might be there. And this fermenting or putrefying of the food is where a lot of the yeast and bacteria and parasites, all these things come from, and where they're able to start to inhabit our body, as we've created that kind of a environment where they're quite happy and comfortable, and they start to proliferate. When we create a nice cleansed, alkaline, well-oxygenated environment, then those things don't find any kind of an environment that they want to live in, so they will just pass right through us. So that's really right there the key to our health and happiness. And the type of food that we eat really has a lot to do with that. So if we can focus on getting foods that have energy in them, foods that are more alkaline, and keep the more acidifying foods down to a minimum, or maybe eat them as snacks in between meals. If you're worried about food combining, generally I recommend people eat their sugars by themselves. You don't have to worry about so much eating the other things in combination, but your sugars really tend to be the undoing. When we have like a steak and potatoes, that's kind of a staple in the American diet nowadays. You've got an acid and two acids, but one that requires an acid to break it down and another that requires a base to break it down. And if they're both present in the stomach at the same time, then we're not getting anything accomplished but a negative impact on our health. That's why everybody's sick and tired nowadays. So the way we eat directly relates to our energy and our health in all aspects.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on there. We have a question that might be in reference to what you've been saying. It's from Dawn Marty now in Roseville. She said, I have an inflammatory bowel disease below my stomach. I have a lot of inflammation, also inflammation in the top part of my legs where my pants will fit one day and not the next. Can living clay reduce this inflammation? I would be very grateful if someone could answer my question. I've tried a lot of things, but nothing seems to work. Thank you very much. Well, the clay can help reduce the inflammation, drinking it and even applying a poultice over the lower bowel area, which is mixing the clay, one part of clay to three parts of water, the dry powder to three parts of water, shaking it real good, letting it stand. You want to loosen the lid and let it breathe and expand for about 15 minutes. Then you have this clay paste that you can apply thickly over your lower bowel area, the upper part of your legs, and leave it on there and let it dry for a while. It may take 20 to 30 minutes. Will help pull out any swelling and inflammation. But I think what Jason has just talked about on food eating and how to maintain that, it would be interesting to know what sort of food you're eating, Dawn, and if some of this might affect it. So, Jason, what are some of your more alkaline foods that you would mix together?
Pretty much any vegetables or low-sugar fruits. And the low-sugar fruits, there's really only five that I recommend that you can eat as much as you want of, and you'll never get fat. That's avocado, tomato, uncooked, of course, lemon, lime, and grapefruit. And I know a lot of people think, well, lemon, lime, and grapefruit, those are acidic. And when you think about citric acid, yes, that is an acid. But what the overall effect on the body after digestion is one of alkalizing. It has a alkalizing effect ultimately on the body as it's digested, because, like I said earlier, talking about the sugars being acids, those have virtually no sugar in them. And the primary contents are a lot of alkaline minerals like calcium or potassium or magnesium. Some of those alkaline minerals will actually outweigh the minor amount of sugar that may be in there. So ultimately, it's going to have an alkalizing effect. And they are full of a lot of antioxidants and other helpful qualities as well. So those are the five fruits. You think about some of the other vegetables like cucumber. Cucumber's a 10 pH, so very alkaline. It's a very cooling and calming, soothing vegetable, and it has some anti-inflammatory properties to it as well, which is something that many people benefit from nowadays. You think about some of the other herbs, like parsley, for instance, is a 10 pH, and it's probably our best source of vitamin K, which is a great blood builder as well. Anything that's got lots of chlorophyll on it, any of your dark green leafy vegetables, like kale or spinach, those are all going to be great for your health. And most of these things are going to actually have a pretty high level of protein in them as well, like broccoli actually is about 50% protein, same with spinach. I think it's 49% protein. And these things have a lot of alkaline minerals, calcium, for instance, in the broccoli and the spinach. They're very high in calcium, which is an alkaline mineral. But really any of the green leafies, and you want to get a good mix of different colors too, because the different colors represent different food compounds. So we want to make sure that we get a variety. When we're looking at the really super food antioxidant products that are out on the market now, like acai, for instance, is one that's very well talked about. It's a very dark purplish fruit, and it's got one of the highest antioxidant values of foods that we've discovered so far. Blueberry, pomegranate, some of these other ones have very dark, rich colors. Same with grapes. Like the red wine, for instance, is supposed to have the highest antioxidant level of the different wines. It has a much darker color than some of the white wines or any other wines. Speaking of wine, actually, that's one thing that we generally recommend keeping to a minimum or excluding from our diet is alcohols, because they are the product of fermentation. So if we're trying to get rid of bacteria and yeast and fungus in our blood and in our organs and tissues, then we don't want to consume things that have those things in them. But again, you know, it's a 80-20 thing, so if we focus on getting 80% good alkalizing foods in our diet primarily, then I guess if that's one of those things that you want to have as your acid, then by all means, I guess go ahead and do it. Just remember to drink in moderation, very small amounts, not using large quantities or drinking to excess. Really, you'll notice, and I promise you this every time, that if you give up the alcohol, you will see direct relation to an increase in your health. I promise you that.
Wow. Just a lot from the fermentation effects.
Yes, and it's the same with vinegar as well. Vinegar is actually an acidic thing that's also a fermentation product. And I know there's a lot of different healing protocols or detox protocols that you use, like the Bragg's apple cider vinegar, and many people have benefits from that, but ultimately it's going to lead to more acidity and microforms in your blood and in your body. It's kind of using an acid to expel other acids, which is the same thing as like mushroom therapies as well. It's essentially the same concept as what the medical world is using, where they want to treat the symptoms. That's really what we're talking about. If you're getting rid of the symptoms, you're not getting rid of the root cause. And that's what's so different from what I do, is I look for the root cause. Why are you feeling unhealthy? Not what unhealthy symptoms do you have, but why are you feeling unhealthy? Let's find that. When we treat that, when we reverse that condition, then the symptoms are going to go away. So that, to me, makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and Jason, I do want to give out your information if anybody wants to call and confer with you on anything. Jason is from Charlotte, North Carolina. His email address is jason@prohealthdynamics.com. And his phone number is 704-806-5982. That's 704-806-5982. And he's given us some very valuable information. So, Dawn, drinking the clay, using a clay poultice will help get rid of a lot of the inflammation. It's going to help balance your pH and heal some of the problems in your lower bowels here. However, let's look at what you're eating and see if we can keep from inflame this inflammation process from reoccurring. So maybe a combination of that, and I'm sure you can go online and look for alkaline foods and find more about that, or if you want to call and talk to Jason, it's Jason@ProHealthDynamics, 704-806-5982. Now we have a question from Gail in Waco. Gail has rosacea on her face, nose, and ocular in her eyes. How can I use clay on my face and in my eyes? I use a mask from Rosacea Treatment Center, and I'm to keep it moist for 20 minutes by spraying it with water. Do I keep the clay moist or do I let it dry? I really need some help. Well, Gail, I sympathize with you if you have rosacea. It is something that's very demeaning to us, and the redness and the inflammation can really wear and tear on you. I do have a friend who has rosacea, who uses the clay mask, I think every other day, and she puts it on and let it dry. But here's what I'm going to say. Everybody's rosacea is different. I would say put your mask on a small area. I like to let it dry because it's really pulling and cleaning the pores of the skin and getting the inflammation out. It's also more stimulating when you let it dry. You can feel the warmth as it brings blood flow and oxygen for cellular repair to the surface. So I'm going to say try a small area, let it dry, and then try another area on the other side of the face and keep it wet and see which ones you get the best results with. Now, as far as your eyes, I would take the hydrated clay, the mixing one part of dry powder to three parts of water and making the paste, and I would close your eye and fill the whole eye cavity thickly with the hydrated clay. It's going to be very cooling, very cold, and just lay down for like 20 minutes. It's not going to dry completely, so it's going to stay partially moist, but it's going to have a very strong drawing effect. And then get up and wash it off, and you may need to do that for a week before you start seeing results. But let's see if we can't clear up that rosacea in your eye through the eyelid. You don't want to put it directly into your eye. If you were to get a little in your eye, just take some eye wash and wash it out. But you want to use it on top of the closed eyelid. We've had a gentleman here recently who was doing it on his face to remove a birth stain, a port wine birth stain on his face, and he decided to put it on his whole face, and he closed his eyes and put it on his eyelids too. And he said he noticed in 3 or 4 weeks that his vision was improving and he no longer needed his glasses to read the newspapers. So it's amazing the strength of this clay and how it can help when you dry it like that. So we have another question here. What makes calcium bentonite superior to sodium bentonite? I don't really know if superior is the word to use. They're just two different types of clay. Your sodiums have a lot of salt in it. I noticed when I mixed a sea salt with a calcium bentonite and I shook it up, it created a separation and the clay wouldn't expand and swell. So it's a matter of preference. Your sodium bentonites have been used primarily in industrial uses for lining tank ponds, oil well muds, and it seems to, when it's hydrated, when you use a sodium bentonite, different ones are different. And they expand differently, too. Some of them are sort of a gel-like plastic. So I'm just going to invite you to get some of both and hydrate some and compare them and see which one you like most. Calcium bentonites are from your smectite family. They are more of the healing bentonites. They've gotten a reputation as being more of a healing bentonite. So I think it's just a matter of choice, and you can try and find which one works for you. Some of the sodium bentonites are not as finely milled. For the industrial uses, they may be a 50 or 200 screen mesh. So that's all I can say on that. And then it's a matter of preference. I always say the proof is in the pudding. Now, if anybody has a question you would like to ask, if you will click star 2, it will show up on our website here, and we can answer a question. Jason, do you have any input or any results with rosacea?
Actually, my friend Mike that first introduced me to alkalizing and also to the living clay, he used to have rosacea and acne and Crohn's disease. He had all three of them really pretty bad, and he's been completely symptom-free for, gosh, like 7 or 8 years now. It's been quite a while now. And ultimately it just came down to alkalizing was the short answer, but, you know, he was using the clay, he was using greens or chlorophyll, and just a good energized alkaline diet, and getting plenty of good water as well. Ultimately, the rosacea is acids that are storing in the skin, and the skin is our largest filter elimination organ. It's our third kidney, and we really need to make sure that all of our filter elimination organs are running at peak efficiency if we want to have a good level of health on a system-wide basis. So it's definitely something, you know, for multiple reasons. Obviously, it's not pleasant to have, but when you get rid of that, you'll notice the other aspects of your health are going to be dramatically improved as well. I keep using the mask. I would say, like Perry said, you know, go ahead and try doing it without spraying it and just allow it to dry, then rinse it off. The thing that kind of was in my mind while Perry was talking about that was the cucumber melon soap from the Living Clay Company, the bar soap, which all their soaps are absolutely wonderful, but the cucumber melon is going to have some other properties that may be beneficial to your skin as well. The cucumber is very calming. I know a lot of spas, they will put cucumber discs over your eyes while you're doing a facial or something like that, and that's because there's certain compounds in the cucumber that are very good for the eyes and the skin. They're very cooling and soothing, and that may add some additional benefits. Maybe after you're using the clay mask, when you want to rinse your face off, go ahead and use some of that cucumber melon soap, or the cucumber bar soap with the clay in it, and that'd probably be a great follow-up. And then you want to make sure that you're using, if you're using any moisturizers, to use a good high-quality moisturizer. So our skin really is just like a sponge, and anything that we put on it, it's just like we're putting it in our mouth, because it's really going to be absorbed into our body. So if you wouldn't put it in your, on your, I was saying, if you wouldn't put it in your mouth, you shouldn't put it on your skin. And that's really important with all the preservatives and binders and things like that that we're seeing in so many of the skincare and cosmetic products nowadays. The anti-wrinkle cream or the rejuvenating face cream from the Living Clay Company would be a wonderful follow-up to that. It's going to be very light, so it won't clog the pores, and it'll have some of the clay in there, so you'll always have the clay there throughout the day, and it doesn't have any of those toxins or things like the parabens in it, so that'll be wonderful as well. And
that's a good
there's
point.
A few
Thank
other
you.
Things. Yeah, there's some other things that will be very beneficial as well, and you might not think that this is directly related, but it will be, and that's exercise and anything else that you can do to promote good, healthy sweating. If we're not sweating through our skin effectively, then that's a lot of toxins that are being bottled up inside of us. So if you can use far-infrared sauna or other far-infrared treatments, like there's some of these bracelets out there, or some of the mats that have far-infrared properties, and even just going for a walk in the sun for, say, 30 minutes or more, 5 days a week or as often as you can. The sunshine is going to be very helpful to it. And I know a lot of people think, well, rosacea, you already have red skin. Gee, I don't want to get sunburned or something like that. But the vitamin D that you're getting from the sun and the far-infrared effect that you're getting from the rays of the sun, those are going to be very promoting to your health and to eliminating those toxins through your skin. So we need to nourish our skin. Think of yourself like a plant and how valuable the sun and the carbon dioxide is to that plant. We're the same way. We need the sun and we need oxygen instead of carbon dioxide. And we need that inside as well as outside. So when we're exercising, that's also going to promote more oxygen in our body. It's also going to stimulate the lymphatic system, which is another way our body uses of pushing the toxins off to our elimination organs, like the skin, so we can start pushing those toxins out of our body. So there's a lot of things that are interrelated, but they're all going to lead to promoting better health and getting those toxins out of your skin and the other elimination organs of your body.
Well, that's right, and I'm glad you brought up the far-infrared sauna, too, because those are wonderful if you want to detox. If you don't have a facility where you can take a clay bath, if you can just go and lather up with clay and get an infrared sauna, it will, the dry heat effect will promote the sweating, and the clay is there to capture the toxins. So, and the clay is also pulling at the same time. So that's, would be a wonderful, program to do. And as well, I would also recommend, Gail, drinking the clay, just because it's going to help balance your liver and, clean your pH. And often when your liver is functioning well, when we've got it detoxed and our organs are functioning well, it helps reduce this buildup of acidity that's trying to come out through the pores of your skin, like rosacea and acne and things of that nature. And thank you for bringing up the cosmeceuticals that the Living Clay Company has. And you can find that at livingclayco.com. livingclayco.com, or call 1-800-915-2529. They have a whole line of cosmeceuticals, rejuvenation cream, the body cream, a hand lotion. All of them have clay, but they're made with all natural ingredients and are very health-oriented. We have had some people that have acne that say that just using the rejuvenation cream has been able to keep their acne at bay. Now, of course, that's going to depend, too, on your eating style. This particular person was eating a pretty healthy diet. He liked lots of greens and salads and things. And he noticed that just using the clay, his system was pretty much acidic. But using the rejuvenation face cream helped keep his acne away where he didn't have to take a facial every day. So hope that's answered your question. Let me go back over and see if we have any more questions. I think we've answered all the questions today, and this was going to be a 45-minute call, so we have about one more minute. And Jason, I want to thank you again. Jason Fowler from ProHealth Dynamics in Charlotte, North Carolina, for your expertise and information, and I think you've got the nail on the head. We're treating the symptoms, and we need to keep the body balanced and really eat healthy and pay some attention to what we're doing. Now, you did mention that your wife had candida at one time, and the clay was instrumental, the clay and the dieting was instrumental in her in getting over that?
Yes, absolutely. Primarily what we were doing initially was just using greens, a high concentrated greens product, which is essentially just getting chlorophyll and lots of nutrients into the body, and it's alkalizing, and the clay, again, alkalizing and just putting a lot of energy into the body, and those were two things that she was really missing, and it also created more oxygen in her body and helped her to flush the toxins out of her bowels, and that's really where, generally speaking, the yeast or the candida and those types of things start, is in the bowels. So when we're able to cleanse the bowels and provide the nutrients, the alkalinity that the body needs, then we can really flush those things out quite quickly. So, yeah, she noticed almost immediate improvements, and that was something that we had gone to specialist after specialist for, and we were really not finding any answers, and we were just like, you know what, let's try this. My friend's talking about this, and he seemed to have good luck with his problems. Again, talking about my friend that had the rosacea and the acne and Crohn's disease, and it really blew our minds, and so that started me down a whole different path. I was getting ready to go to school to become a naturopathic doctor, and I actually went this route instead and have not had second thoughts about that at all. I am so passionate about what I do and really just love it, and I want to share it with everybody because I really think it's the answer for everything that you can possibly think of, whether it's cancer or diabetes or just normal feeling better type things, having more energy, alkalizing and cleansing the body inside and out is really the answer in as simple terms as I can make it.
You're right. I've often told people when they're working with candida, the clay can help control it, but if they're feeding the bacteria by eating wrong, they're just, you know, the clay can get it under control, and then they go back to eating sugars and fermenting foods, and then they're rebuilding it and recreating it. So I think you've hit the nail on the head, and it's more and more evident that our diet and the way we eat are affecting our bodies. So clay is there to help and support and help and maintain. Again, I can't mention enough about clay baths, using it topically, using it internally. For more information, you can go to aboutclay.com. There are many articles there and lots of testimonials on uses and successes of clay. Today we have primarily been talking about internal and clay related to diet and how that can help, but there are many, many other aspects of clay, and one of them is benefits to the people who are exposed to the toxins in the Gulf area. So if you know anybody in that area, let them know that clay is an answer for getting out those toxins and getting them back to good health, and that they are really being inundated with toxins. If you live in that area, it's getting on the grass, the crops, the foods, and it's getting in you and on you, and it's sort of an invisible invader. So take clay baths, drink some clay, and maintain a good, healthy lifestyle. So Jason, thank you again for joining us today. It's been really exciting for me to have you on as a guest, and I appreciate your information. Again, Jason Fowler with ProHealth Dynamics. Jason at ProHealthDynamics.com, 704-806-5982. And for more information on clay, you can go to aboutclay.com. And this is Perrier and Jason Fowler signing off for this month's teleseminar. Thank you.
Thank you.